Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast. I'm Scott, and with me this week, the cool counselor from Kentucky, it's Brian. How you doing, Brian?
Good, Scott. How are you?
Doing fine. We are doing a ultimate rarity for the Serious TV Drama Podcast. Not just the subject matter, but the fact that we are actually recording on a Sunday afternoon, which I don't know if we've ever done that before on this podcast. Might have once, don't remember. But long story short, we've been delaying this podcast several times, mostly due to my scheduling issues this week. So we are excited to finally get together and talk about the latest season of Black Mirror, season 5, technically. Before we dive into that 3-episode season, thought I might say a few words about the last visit we had from the Black Mirror folks. It's an episode that kind of seems to stand outside the seasons. Not the way White Christmas did, because that did eventually get considered part of the second season, if I'm not mistaken. Whereas if you were to look for the episode they released last year, it is separate from the regular Black Mirror listing. You actually have to find it by itself. I'm referring to the episode mostly known as the Choose Your Own Adventure style episode called Baldersnatch. I was not the biggest fan of this episode. What was your feeling about that one?
And I think just so the people that are pulling their hair out, I think it's Bandersnatch. But we'll give alternate pronunciations so that no one can ding us with a review that the people said the idiots don't know the name of it.
Oh, yeah.
So now we have choose your own title to choose the, as well.
Well, you know, I was thinking of what I prefer in my personal life then. Anyway.
Wow.
I'm not going to top that joke for the rest of the whole podcast.
That's pretty good. Now, the... It started interesting. The content was good. It was interesting to see how the actor played off different things. I mean, depending on the choices,
right,
and see how the actors played it. But I found it a little tedious and wondering when the credits were going to come.
Yeah.
And also was sort of, wondered if anyone else felt like they wanted to get the best review for the game. I thought it was ambitious. It had some good stuff, but I found it towards the end. I found it tedious at the end.
Right. I made one error beyond the screwing up the title, which was purely a typo on the little note I wrote here. Should refresh people's memory on what the episode was actually about. It was a story that was set in the mid-80s where a young and rather asocial computer programmer named Stefan is developing a game based on a choose-your-own-adventure-style novel called Bandersnatch. Baldersnatch was a different type of novel he probably would have come across back then. Emphasis on come across. But after he makes a deal with some software company to eventually market and release the game, the more he seems to work on it, the more his life seems to mirror the game, or is he just losing his mind? My feeling was essentially, I don't mind if the main character of any story is not likable. He or she just has to be compelling. I have to have enough of an interest in the character to want to pursue whatever that story is. I didn't really have that so much with this story. However, if this had just been a normal episode and run, say, and hopefully one on the shorter side, say a 40-odd minute one, like Metalhead was one of their shorter episodes from a season or earlier or whatever, I probably would have been fine with it. But the fact that with all the choose your adventure silliness that pops up throughout the game, I agree. I applaud them for their ambitious attempt here. But nothing about this storyline justifies the fact that, you can look it up, apparently if you were to try every single possible option throughout the episode, it's hard not to refer to it as throughout the game, it adds up to over 5 hours worth of content. I got as far as about 2 hours and change, where I was like, okay, I kind of want out of this. I don't want to do this anymore. It was just a journey. I wasn't interested in continuing any further. So I did not do all 5 hours. Like I said, I probably maxed out close to 2.5 hours worth before I said, nah, I've had enough of this.
I think I did right at about 2 hours, and I think I got two or three endings by going back. And the last option, where it had to go back and do it again, I was like, nah, I'm okay. And I think it's cool that those options are out there for people, but to just slog through it again, I didn't feel like reliving it. I did like that they sort of rewound and gave the rewinds got quicker and quicker, so you didn't have to wait for the recap of everything
True.
happening over and over again.
True.
But even that, after doing it so much, I mean, it got a little tiresome. And I think, like you said, the character at the center of it was okay. I mean, I didn't hate him, but I didn't particularly like him. I was a lot more interested in the sort of whiz kid gamer at the that he hangs out with.
Right. Who?
Like, I thought that character was like really interesting, and he sort of, when he came into the sphere, I was like, wow, that character, I want to follow that guy,
I
you know?
agree. I thought before I'd watched the episode, I think maybe it was based on the promotional materials, perhaps, or photos that were released for the episode. I actually thought that that character was going to be more central to the storyline. And while he did play a significant part here or there, yeah, I would have preferred much more doing with him than the actual main character of the story. I just, again, it wasn't even a likability thing. I just didn't care about him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I was neutral, and I'll say, really, my only other comment, I did like the 80s theme, and there was lots. I mean, they
Yeah.
obviously licensed some really cool 80s music for it that was kind of neat. But you know, not every day you get the Thompson Twins, and so it was neat. But I think, you know, I'm like you. I ran out of gas after about the second or third ending.
Yeah, to just, I would say, just to finish it off, I think the ultimate problem with the episode was we are going to remember the gimmick, but I don't think we're really going to remember the actual content of the episode much the more time goes by. It just doesn't stay with you the way a number of other Black Mirror episodes perhaps have over the last several years. So, let us move from Bandersnatch. Again, I apologize for possibly my funniest mispronunciation in some time. So let's get into the actual season five. And the first, I guess we call them episodes, they're episodes, even though they're almost like little standalone movies, each one. The first one was Striking Vipers, which essentially was about two college roommates who reconnect over a decade later. But when they start playing a different type of virtual reality fighting game, things take a far different turn than either of them would have imagined. Or maybe not. There were things I liked about this episode. I did like the fact that I was wondering how many people realized by the time they finished it. It's like, hey, you know, you just watched this entire episode, and you're basically just mostly with people of color. I know, and it's maybe it's said that in 2019 that even has to be mentioned, but I was kind of aware of it, but in a kind of a happy way, like, oh, that's kind of neat, you know, that they were able to, that they chose to do it that way. There's certain aspects of it that are a little bit reminiscent of the famous and for some beloved episode, San Junipero, to a certain extent. I don't think this episode is remotely in the league of that episode. But let's throw it to you and get your feelings on it. And at least with this one, you know, you can really drill down on the characters as well as, you know, more so than it being a very plot-centric episode.
I think this episode did what this show is really good at, and that is like provoked really interesting sort of conflicting feelings about what technology can do and what the dark side of it is. And I thought it was interesting to see Anthony Mackie take that role on, And, you know, I'm sure there were a lot of complicated issues of, you know, what that meant for two guys to do that in virtual reality, what that meant. Is this cheating or is it not cheating?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way I described it to a friend who asked me about it is I said, I don't know if I liked it, but of the episodes, it certainly made me think. And like when it was over, I continued to think about it for a while, which, you know, I think is a good thing that sometimes art is to provoke a thought, to make you face something or think about something. And,
right.
And I certainly thought that episode did and started the tone, I think, of this season that, you know, the endings of Black Mirror episodes are usually such downers that this episode was sort of even a split decision between a total downer and not, that you sort of have one character that finds a way to navigate the technology and save what the rest of their life is.
Mm.
And the other character that can't deal with it and is just completely obsessed with it and whose life sort of devolves to waiting on that, you know, one day that they get to be in this immersive world. So I think this episode highlights a lot of what I like about the show. I don't know if I liked it, but I definitely didn't hate it or think it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was something that made me think, and so I at least appreciate it for that.
Okay, to kind of hook onto a few of the things you mentioned there, in my own opinion, I would say on one hand, yes, I think that the episode does succeed as far as provoking discussion, far more so than perhaps definitely the other two episodes, and perhaps many other episodes of the series. Whether it be everything from something as pedestrian as what actually does constitute cheating or not, whether it's the virtual reality world, or you could take that to if someone does something, you know, involving online pornography or webcams, is that considered cheating or not? If they're not physically doing something themselves, the virtual reality aspect is we get into sexual identity, and these two men who had not thought of themselves, at least not consciously, as ever being homosexual, but does that manifest within the confines of this virtual reality game? And then you have the added layer of one of them is in the virtual reality game is under the guise of a female character, which they touch on to a certain extent as far as the sensations and experience, but I don't want to say they drop the ball on that. By the way, I do believe they dropped the ball on this episode, but I wasn't really going to go for that part of it. Although I wish they could have come up with a way to explore that aspect of it more, because that kind of seems to be glossed over to a large extent. And whether it has anything to do with the actual virtual reality characters themselves and what their actual role or backstory is, or whether we throw that all out and they're just avatars for the two men, that's somewhat debatable. The way I took it was their identities are these two men. I'm just speaking through them. But I gotta say, it's kind of like with Bandersnatch, whereas I applaud them for at least delving into the subject matter, but the way they kind of tie everything up in a quote-unquote nice way, I think, is kind of like it's kind of like they chose to punt at that point. And I kind of found that kind of a letdown. Especially for a series which previous seasons, generally speaking, has not shied away from going either with a dark ending or a sad ending or a tragic ending. They kind of don't really do that here. I mean, I'll be super honest. I even forgot that they made it seem like the other guy, Carl, was basically waiting his entire year for his one night to be with Danny in the virtual game. I kind of, maybe my mind kind of just blinked that out of existence because I was so focusing on the relationship between Danny and his wife Theo, and how one night a year apparently Danny and Carl can go do their thing in the video game, and Theo can go and pick up, you know, get picked up by a guy at a hotel bar or something, as if the fact that they're even equating those two things is a little disturbing, because I don't think they're quite the same. And I guess one can say, well, it's the way they chose to make that marriage work, which is fine. I get that. I mean, but I just felt story-wise, it was like, oh, they kind of took something which is really complicated and which could be really, you know, emotionally ripping, and they kind of just skip right past that and like, okay, we're going to do this. How are we going to resolve it? So as a result, an episode that I thought was really potentially, I just think the episode could have been potentially a lot more. And I think they kind of didn't quite go as far as they could have. And by trying to give it sort of a mostly happy-ish ending, again, kind of like the Sanji and Apero thing, where we discover throughout the storyline that these are two, you know, these two women are actually meant, want to be with each other or whatever. That, at least that was done organically throughout the episode and came to a really great conclusion. I don't think this episode did. This, to me, ended up being a very middle-of-the-pack kind of episode, and the only points I would really award it was for the thought-provoking discussions that it did generate, which is a good thing. I mean, that's a great thing, actually. But episode-wise, I was like, meh, you know, it's, you know, if I was grading it, it's like, you know, B minus, C plus for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think that the lack of dealing with what it meant for all the people, and sort of putting a coda on the end that that's how they handled it, didn't really address what those issues were. You know, I do think that and where I thought the episode might be better, and then it sort of faltered, is when they actually go meet, and he says, you know, I feel that online, but I don't know if it's real. And then, you know, he provokes the kiss, and they're both so awkward, and and then they have a kiss, and he says, I don't feel anything. And then, you know, the fist fight erupts, the cops show up, and you know, I thought from there that was an interesting jumping off point to go down that road further about, in the aftermath of that, what feelings did that change or not change in them, to explain how they could end up where the episode ended, but it didn't really follow that thread to where it would have been more satisfying.
Yeah, I think it's from that point in the episode on, it kind of ends up following a, for lack of a better way to put it, a more conventional path. And I thought that's where I thought they kind of, you know, because the fact that, you know, it's kind of like, oh, now they feel fine about themselves because they didn't feel anything. It would have been interesting if one of them, you got the stronger sense that one of them wasn't so sure, or one of them thought maybe there was something, if not both. And the fact that you have this whole thing, and you're spending a lot of this episode wondering what's going to happen if and when his wife finds out about this, because this is like the big secret, you know, for all this time. And we don't get the satisfaction of seeing that happen, really. We don't get that revelation. And I'm all for skipping that for other kinds of stories, as far as, you know, we don't need. We already went through this. We don't need to see that. This was a time where, no. I kind of need to see that. She's the other central character in the storyline. I need to see her reaction to finding that out about her husband and what that means as far as how he feels about her and so on and so forth. And they kind of just, you know, just jump right over all that for the little sweet little, cute little ending. I don't want to say sweet, just cute, whatever. Okay. We can move on to the second one, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Okay. The second episode of the season was Smithereens. Basically, a cab driver takes a corporate intern hostage in an ultimately tragic tale of how social media can both impact and shatter lives, which is not exactly new ground for Black Mirror. I'll just say really quickly, and then I'll throw it to you, that I thought this was a bit more on the nose than even most Black Mirror episodes, as it is really directly commenting on the state of social media today, rather than in any way forecasting where we are headed, which is what Black Mirror tends to do. It tends to be like, you know, a little bit in the future, you know, whereas this actually is taking place, I believe, in 2018. But you name it, they kind of give it a smack in this episode. Everything from Facebook to Twitter to Uber even, I guess. So I guess it remains to be seen how we feel, how they actually handled all that by episode's end. So what were your thoughts on Smithereens, Brian?
I agree with your initial statement. It was on the nose. I did for some reason enjoy this, and I think I enjoyed this more, I think, because of Andrew Scott and a really surprising appearance. Is it Topher Grace that sort of played the Jack Dorsey character?
Yep.
Because I looked at him for literally 5 minutes trying to figure out who he was. Like I didn't immediately recognize him. A good turn from him. I thought the only area that I think maybe it pushed slightly ahead of where we are is the way that it sort of completely neutered the FBI with the people getting the information and saying, no, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But I think the actual commentary of how much information that could be accessed if someone were to focus on one person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I found it interesting and also, you know, thought-provoking. But I really think the heart of this episode was, I mean, you know, Andrew Scott's really killing it with Fleabag and this. He's a really phenomenal actor, and being in tight close up for that long and maintaining intensity has to be a tough job. And you know, for whatever the time was, most of his acting was, you know, with a camera right up in his face,
right,
showing the interior of a car. And I thought the actor, you know, who played the kidnapped intern also did a really good job. Their relationship in that car, I liked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it worked. I thought it was good. I liked, you know, I don't, surely it was intentionally comic that, you know, I don't think they trashed Jack Dorsey, but they certainly, you know, painted a caricature of him that was amusing.
Yes.
And then had him be a little deeper than I thought maybe he would be.
Mm-hmm.
With his reflections on what he had done. So, I have to say I enjoyed it. I thought the technology was interesting, but I don't know I would have really enjoyed it as much if not for the performance of Andrew Scott and sort of the comical, you know, appearance of Topher Grace. I thought those two things boosted this above average to maybe being, you know, for me, probably a B episode.
I think I mostly agree, generally speaking. I think the strength of the episode is more on performance than anything else. And absolutely agree. I think Andrew Scott, you know, does yeoman's work here. Everything from all the stuff in the car and even before that. And folks who might not have seen Fleabag as of yet, such as myself, might also remember him as the guy who played Moriarty in a couple episodes of Sherlock with Cumberpatch. I probably mispronounced his name just now. I think I said Patch instead of Batch. Anyway. in case anyone doesn't realize what you were referring to with Jack Dorsey, the famous thing with the guy from Jack Dorsey was like the head guy from Twitter. And I guess one of his famous or infamous things is that he would go on that whole retreat on his own and, you know, turn off all, you know, electronic social media, whatever kind of thing, or something like that. And that's what they were kind of goofing on with the Billy Bauer character here, played by Topher Grace.
And he's also been interviewed several times talking about trying to be reflective about what his technology's doing.
Right.
And I thought, you know, the line that Topher Grace delivered, like, is you create this thing and then, like, it does all this stuff that you could never imagine. And at some point, I would imagine if you're that character, it becomes overwhelming that if you create something and then everyone uses it. And, you know, for God's sake, we have a president who, you know, doesn't need a press secretary. He uses Twitter. So I thought that those aspects of it elevated above average for me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't extraordinary, but it was above average. I enjoyed it. And I thought it was a meta commentary sort of on where we are. I did like the one scene that I hadn't really thought of that's not ahead of technology, but that I hadn't really contemplated. And that is, if you were in that sort of situation now, that now, if you're a hostage taker or somewhere, if you're a criminal watching an area, if there's an incident, I guess now with the way people stream, if you got online and had a sufficient network, it probably gives intelligence and data that, you know, would be beneficial. And I thought, you know, the scene where, you know, he uses that for the people who are streaming mm-hmm. from the car to sort of gain some intelligence, I hadn't really thought about that aspect. So, I mean, it sort of the meta commentary of that is while it may be good to know everything about, you know, a perpetrator or a possible criminal, whatever, it's also giving them information that they could possibly use.
All right. Like the fact that he became aware of people were commenting or online about stuff that they, and that's how he figures out that they're actually listening in on his conversations and
exactly.
car, you know, stuff like that. Plot details like that I kind of enjoyed, but I thought where it kind of works for me is stripping away the as you said, the meta commentary on all the different types of social media and so on and so forth. Only because for me personally, I just felt like it wasn't really hitting much in the way of new ground there. I feel like I've kind of been there and done that with right. Black Mirror. They've certainly commented on Facebook and Twitter and likes and things before to great effect. I'm not saying that they shouldn't do that. I'm just saying, okay, but I feel I've been here before. But when I strip it down just to the pure character drama of, you know, the taking of a hostage and the conversations between the eventual conversation between Billy Bauer and Chris Kilhaney, the Andrew Scott character, that all worked for me. And that is about performance. Whereas I said in the previous episode, they punted the ending, as far as I was concerned. I wouldn't say they punted here so much. I thought they kind of went, but I wouldn't exactly call it a walk-off, you know, celebration kind of an ending either. It was kind of like, all right, that's an okay ending, I guess. I was fine with it. I definitely rank it higher than Striking Vipers, you know, which for me was more like a B-, C-plus kind of a thing. But I couldn't see myself going any higher than a B for this episode. And most of that's because of how good Andrew Scott was in the episode, quite mm-hmm. frankly. And you're right, the kid, what made the kid great playing the intern was he felt real the whole time to me.
Yeah,
and that's something, whenever I see that in any kind of movie or TV show, it's a credit to the actor where I feel they're totally, they are that character. I don't even think that they're quote-unquote acting, which is always impressive.
I totally agree. In the moment, like the moment where he looked and he tried to run, but then didn't, he said, and when he realized that Andrew Scott was in crisis, he sort of made a turn. And when he said, "Hey man, I'm not going to run again." Like he had a credibility and authenticity that I believed him. And, you know, like the tension of their relationship sort of dissipated and it focused on the conflict outside of the car at that point, which I think is a real credit to his acting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So I believe we can move on to the final episode of season 5. Oh boy. Which was called titled, and I got this one correct, I'm sure, Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2.
Mm-hmm.
And my little summation of this one was, despite her older sister's constant rolling eyes, a teenager tries to fill the void in her life with her adoration of a pop idol, even getting a mini AI version of the singing star. However, it turns out the pop star's life kind of sucks, too. I'll say one thing really briefly, then I'll throw it to you again. I would admit that I'll just say this. I was dreading this episode before I got to it because, you know, I knew it was going to be the quote unquote the Miley Cyrus one. And it's not like I don't hate Miley Cyrus. I don't have any feelings about her one way or the other, quite frankly. Every once in a while, I've seen her perform and been impressed by a song she's on, and then I see her do something else, and I kind of like, meh. At least she's better than her dad. I'll say that, without getting into my full opinion on it, I'll say that I think I sort of kind of liked the episode more than I thought I would, but I'm not sure that's going to be saying very much. So now I'll throw it
Yeah.
to
I went in this too and thinking what kind of a mess will this be? And it was kind of a hot mess. But I found myself enjoying parts of it. I liked the juxtaposition of the Nine Inch Nails song, which surprisingly I read, I guess Trent Reznor gave his full blessing to use and do.
Amazing.
Yeah, I was surprised. I liked that. I thought that Miley Cyrus, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but she acted better than I thought she would. The people around her, and I think this is another thing where I think that the two daughters, when the story kind of flipped and they became partners, it was kind of silly, but it had the kind of lightness that, you know, Black Mirror doesn't usually have. And you had the another thing, you know, some good punk music. They spent the money on the licensing, obviously, for Bandersnatch and in these episodes of some of the songs that they licensed. But I thought the interesting nugget at the corner of this is, will we have an AI that subsumes a consciousness and isn't built on, you know, a model of that, but really is the transfer of a consciousness to an inanimate object? And I thought some of the most interesting moments was when Ashley 2 was talking, you know, to the live version, and they were driving and talking to each other. And I thought that's kind of a really interesting thing to think of a consciousness existing outside of your own and having a conversation with it. I thought that was sort of the nugget that I found interesting. And if you died, what does that mean? If you're the family of Prince or you're the family of Tom Petty and you could take that consciousness, what would you do with it? Would you monetize it? Would you put it out into the world? Would you use it to continue to make music? I mean, I thought those were interesting questions raised by the episode, particularly when they drag her brain to pull out stuff to make music. I thought that was, you know, of all the things in the episodes, strangely enough, I thought this one had some of the most forward-thinking ideas that I hadn't necessarily seen, maybe in some other iteration, but not exactly done this way. So I thought it was an interesting thought of if a famous, important musician, thinker, whatever, dies in the future, what do you do if you're the family of that person? And what if that person doesn't want you to do that? What does that mean for, you know, end of life planning? I mean, so I thought those were the kind of things that surprised me were in the episode. Its lightness, the performance of the girls and their dad, and, you know, they had the random, you know, dad mouse like robotic mouse thing, which was kind of dumb. But I mean, I guess I'm like you. I went in with low expectations, and maybe because it exceeded it, I think I like it more than I did. But I actually I kind of liked it. I didn't love it. There was no episode. There was no metalhead in this run of episodes that I loved. But I liked it more than I thought I would. I would say this is probably a B minus B for me too.
One of the interesting things that Black Mirror throughout its run is every once in a while they do an episode which is also their, it's like the Black Mirror version of a type of episode. You know, like say like Hated in the Nation is kind of like their version of a, you know, a police procedural. You know, it's kind of like The Killing only, you know, or something like that. and they've done that a few times where it's the Black Mirror version of a dot dot dot, and this episode is kind of like the Black Mirror version of a, you know, it's kind of like, you know, almost like a teen comedy kind of a thing. You know, the two sisters, you know, at the core of it, and they go on the little caper, and you got the kind of silly dad with the outrageous car. These are all little tropes that you can take from that movie genre that they plug into here. That's cute, but it's also probably the stuff that kind of really holds the episode down as far as being a substantial Black Mirror episode, because you're already doing your own version of a light genre, but you're not really doing a parody of it, and you're also not adding quite as much dark weight to it as you might have. It's a little bit, you know, obviously, but not that much. I thought the stuff actually is interesting because, you know, throughout the whole story, you have the AI that's within the Ashley 2, the little tiny little robotic device, which I thought was a lot more, not just interesting, but also, you know, the potential there for both good and, you know, not so good is far more thought-provoking even than what the climax of the story was with her aunt, manager, whatever, creating like the whole hologram version of her. We already have that sort of happening to a certain extent, just not to the point of where it's actually touring. People have actually seen hologram performances of everyone from Tupac to Prince. So that's actually been happening. Obviously not to this great extent, but we already have to see the seeds of that already. And as far as the whole future licensing, et cetera, we've seen that already as well. Consider Star Wars Rogue One and Peter Cushing, who had been dead for how long? I don't know, decades now. But they create a CGI version of the actor to play his part in this movie. We're gonna get a little bit of that. I think we might get a little bit of that with Carrie Fisher in that movie, actually, if I don't recall. Or you look at when they license, you know, I think years ago when, you know, Fred Astaire had been dead for years, but they used his likeness for a vacuum cleaner commercial, or Diet Coke starts having Paula Abdul interacting with Humphrey Bogart. You know, we've already been seeing that to a certain extent. You know, I'm very aware of these kind of things because I used to work in a business that dealt a lot with rights management and the estates of people who had passed on. And so I still got my fingers on the pulse of that business. So when I start seeing things happen, like, oh, look, suddenly there's a lot of Bruce Lee stuff lately. Well, I remember when the company I worked for got the rights to Bruce Lee, and one of their mantras is, we're going to get Bruce Lee out there. We're going to start seeing Bruce Lee in movies and commercials and whatever. So that's, I think this is just another extension of that. They didn't take it quite that far because it didn't seem like the hologram version was in any way an AI thing so much as basically a very sophisticated puppet, as we saw the person be. Whereas the device was very much the character's consciousness and the, you know, like beyond AI, which is why I found that more interesting and troubling at the same time. Episode wise, yeah, it was fine, but it didn't, and it was kind of. It also was kind of a bit on the, but once you were done with it, it was kind of light. And maybe that's why I was kind of with the season overall, because I want at least one Black Mirror episode to really leave me kind of feeling a bit haunted or a little bit like, ooh, geez. And I didn't get that with any of the three episodes. I kind of, you know, just one would have been nice. So this one for me, I mean, it's, what did I say about Smithereens? I said Smithereens was like a B, so this would be a B. If I'm saying this is a B minus, then I guess Vipers would be was like a C plus for me then. Not that these grades are totally arbitrary, because there's not that much distance between these three episodes for me. You know, one or the other is just a grade, it's just a little couple degrees above the other one, and so on and so forth. But I wasn't really wowed by any of the three, which kind of surprised me. Because I love the genre, I love the anthology format, I love anything that's in the Twilight Zone vein. You know, because you have free will to do whatever. And what's his name? Is it Charlie Booker? Is he the?
Yeah, the creator.
He pretty much writes virtually every episode of the show. I think he's written every one, or I think there might be one he didn't write or something like that, or one or two that he might have co-written. I don't remember. I just wonder if, I'm not going to call it lazy writing. That's not what it is. But I'm hoping there's better stuff, you know, in the chamber for the next season, because this was kind of meh for me.
I kind of feel like if you create something that is very thoughtful and thought-provoking out of the gate, and that's sort of what he did, was blow people's minds with Black Mirror.
Yeah.
That it, you know, it's hard to stay there all the, you know, I'm sure at some point as he's writing stuff, he has to consider, is this too lightweight or is this too ponderous? And people will go, oh, you're so, you know, preachy.
Yeah.
But I thought, do I regret watching the episodes? Oh. No. Will I watch any of them again? Maybe at some point. I'm not going to go back through them. I did enjoy, and the one thing I noticed this season, because I specifically forced myself to watch for it, was I did watch for the Black Universe tie-ins, like the Black Mirror Universe, to see where things all tied together. And if you were watching and you watched the news scrolls and this stuff, it all referenced other episodes in the Black Mirrorverse. And so,
okay. I was wondering about that. I didn't look for it, but I was wondering about it after the fact.
Yeah, it's really like it referenced, I mean, the references were almost exhausting. Like if you really started paying attention, like you can say there was real craft to the detail of it to, mm-hmm. you know, say this is all the same universe. And so, I mean, I think overall, it was okay. It wasn't terrible. I don't hate myself for watching it. You know, and there was some good. There was some bad. I like the world with this show in it more than I would like it if it went away. And I think I'd like to see what Charlie continues to do in the future. So. You know, on the season, I would say the season for me, if I average it all together, is a B to B minus, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, same. And I like yourself, and I don't. Hopefully, I wasn't really implying this, but maybe I was. I don't regret watching them. You know, I just, they weren't the greatest. Hey, you know what? Not every Twilight Zone episode is a home run either. Not every episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents was the greatest episode of that either. And they, each one has, you know, the master suspense, you know, at least introducing each one, you know, so we had to have some say in those episodes. But of course, there's also hundreds and hundreds of both those things. And how many Black Mirror episodes are there now? 20? 22? 23? I don't really know. So he's got a much shorter order to fill. So maybe if I'm going to be a bit more critical, it's because of that. It's because, you know, it's not like you're maxing yourself out here. You know, you come up with a few of these every couple of years, it seems. But I hope he keeps doing it. They are attracting, you know, I think anyone would love in acting today would love to be in a Black Mirror episode, because they'd certainly, you know, other than getting like a lot of great British actors, every once in a while you get the occasional American out of nowhere, whether it be anyone from Anthony Mackie to John Hamm to Bryce Howard and so on and so forth. But, you know, by the end of the day, I liked it, but I didn't love it. So, yeah, it's definitely like I'd say a B-minus season for me. It's no season two, which was probably their, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, I think season two might be their high watermark for the show for me.
I think that sounds right. I think there have been standout episodes. I sort of agree with what you said earlier, that the thing that this season lacked, and I think, you know, it was shortened because of all the production on Bandersnatch and that, you know, You have to imagine if they had to produce, 8 hours of a show that could be shown, that had to cut into what this season was. And I think I read somewhere that's why this is shortened. I could be wrong about that, but I think I remember reading somewhere that's why this is a shortened order. But I think you and I both feel that this season suffers that it didn't have that one episode that sort of either gives you a gut punch or blows your brain. Right. And so,
season four, you did have that. I mean,
right.
You had a couple legitimately, depending on one's opinion, you had at least one or more than one, truly great episodes. Mm-hmm. in season four. I mean, for me, there were like two great episodes, can even stretch it to three, maybe. But even the ones that or maybe not on that tier, were still just a rung below, but still really solid. Because they kind of they gave me a bit of a shiver, and they caused the right kind of the pleasing kind of suspense tension that I like. Like the episode you mentioned, Metalhead. I think we both know a lot of people didn't like that episode. I liked it.
I loved it.
I thought that was great. A lot of people didn't like Crocodile. I really liked Crocodile a lot. It should have been shorter, but I really liked the episode.
I jokingly say Crocodile is one of my favorite episodes of TV that I don't know if I ever want to watch again.
Yeah, it's, right. Exactly.
But it was deliciously, evil when you watched it. And, Metalhead is the kind of thing that sticks with me now, that when I see a Boston Dynamics like robot moving around that can walk up steps and stuff, I flash back to that episode and think, oh my God, like it's not that far off, what the future could hold. So right. This season just lacked that punch of an episode.
Yeah. For me, it just didn't have either the one that had the really dark, oh my God, stab me in the heart twist at the end, or the just really made me just feel great about it kind of episode. Like USS Callister was the kind of episode I was like talking about doing an homage to something, or I love that episode fully. Or Black Museum had a nice little dark little kind of like twist upon a twist on it. It's like and referencing everything else was kind of fun, but I think I mentioned season two is the best one for me, because you've got Be Right Back, White Bear, and White Christmas. So even though it has one of the worst episodes with the Waldo moment, you can throw that one out, because you've got not one, not two, but three of the best episodes of the series, out of four. So that's, you're hitting 750s. So that's really something.
Right.
All right. So I think that is it for Black Mirror. Hey, it's a shame we never got around to doing a Deadwood podcast, because I think we both might have had a little bit to say about that. I really love the Deadwood TV movie. I'm sure I get the feeling you did as well. Like, am I right about that?
Loved it, 100%.
What I loved about it was that even by the time it was over, I mean, technically it still didn't tie things in a bow for people who like that kind of, who need to have that at the end of a series kind of thing. But I felt at least it gave a certain level of closure for some people, for some aspects. But I think especially when you're dealing with a storyline and a show that is populated by, any number of actual historical figures. It's the thing people have to remember that, it's not just that Hearst was a real person. Seth Bullock is a real person. That's an actual person, and so on and so forth. So it's really, unless you're going to fast forward, 20 years later on a cruise liner, hanging out with Wyatt Earp as in retirement or whatever the hell. You're never really going to get that. But I was very pleased with it. I thought they really did a nice job with it.
I loved it, and maybe later I won't go into spoilers because we didn't prepare people for talking about Deadwood, but
yeah.
I'll just say this. I felt like I got to check in with some old friends that I hadn't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And although they'd changed, they were still the people that I remembered.
Yes.
And that's what like I think Milch nailed the who those characters were in this story. And although they look a little different and their lot in life may have changed, who they were was still consistent with who they are now. And, you know, it had, I was pumped up. I was psyched, you know, about some stuff. I was in tears. I was moved. And, you know, I think it's like if you have, I was telling somebody this about friends, you know, I have a circle of friends that's such that I don't get to see all of them very often. But when I do see them, I really enjoy it, but it's never enough time, but it just is the time you have. And I think that's what this movie was for me. It's, you know, all these characters were so richly built that I loved them, and just getting to hang out with them for 2 hours and see the story that was put on really was satisfying. And it did clear up a lot of the dissatisfaction with the final episode of the series run.
Right.
It did give a certain resolution to that at least when you walk away from it here, it may not be fully resolved, but without spoiling it, I at least got some satisfaction from what happened.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. And while remaining spoiler free with this aspect of this conversation, that you may not have gotten a resolution, but you got satisfaction. I think that's actually the best way to put it. And maybe in some future podcasts we will do a full Deadwood kind of thing. I don't know. It seems like whenever I start to speculate or predict what future podcasts we're going to end up doing here at STBD Studios, we've gone to hi-fi to lo-fi to no-fi, as you can tell from the opening lack of music, and how we're going to end this one as well. I don't know if we'll ever get around to it, but maybe it's not out of the realm of possibility. The only thing I know for sure, and I'll say it now, is that there are definite plans to do a podcast within the next few days based on the first two seasons of the marvelous Mrs. I always mispronounce the name.
Maisel.
Thank you. Maisel. I got scolded heavily by a couple friends of mine. I mispronounced, you know, everywhere. That's supposed to happen. It was originally supposed to be recorded actually tomorrow. I'm going to try to get the person, Jamie is going to do it with me. Probably going to try to get her to push it to later in the week so we don't have these like one right on top of one another. And then again, as I said in the previous podcast, a couple shows are coming back. We're going to get the full 6-episode season that's going to appear on Netflix of Dark fairly soon, within the next week or two, I believe. So we are definitely going to be doing a podcast about that. I don't know if it'll be 2, 3, 4, how many people are going to be on it, but we are definitely going to do that. And Legion returns fairly soon. I actually just watched the pilot a few hours ago with someone who had never seen it before. Fascinating watching the pilot again and seeing all the aspects of the David Haller character. And pardon me, let's see, they told you all along what was going to happen with this guy's character. Not going to spoil that for people who haven't seen it yet, but trust me, when you get to the end of season 2, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I think that comes back next week.
Yeah, I think it's next Monday. Yeah, I think it's on a Monday. I think it's going to be on Mondays.
It's this year. A week from tomorrow.
Yep. So, oh boy. So definitely going to be doing that. Dan, I think is going to at least participate in the first one. His dissatisfaction with the series overall may lead to him bailing on it. I don't know. My feeling is, and if I said this on the previous podcast, I apologize for being repetitive. My feeling is I want to give it a few episodes. If I'm 3 episodes into the series and I just don't feel like doing the podcast anymore, it's just not fun for me, I'm going to pull the plug on it. Kind of like our friends did over at the Jay and Jack Studios with, I think it was like Flash Forward or something like that a long time ago, where they just like, we don't want to do this anymore. It's just not fun anymore. And they pulled the plug on it, or some other shows like that. Because if it's not fun to do, you don't want to be doing anything, whether it be seeing a movie or doing or recording a podcast where it feels like it's homework, where you're just not enjoying it. And especially something that requires that much note-taking.
Right, and it's no fun to just hate watch something over and over.
Yeah, I'll hate watch an episode of something for a podcast like I did with Gotham a few years ago, but I wouldn't have done an entire season of it. God, no.
Right.
No way. Right.
Well, let me add one final thing, a plug for any of our listeners.
Sure.
I've told you this, but if you want the most crazy superhero show out there, check out Doom Patrol. I finished the season of Doom Patrol. I've encouraged Scott to watch it, and I think when he can get access to a DC, he's going to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the most bonkers, enjoyable, funny, dramatic thing. It's gotten really good reviews, and I hope it, you know, based on the cancellation of Swamp Thing, people are guessing that maybe it will be canceled next. I hope not. It's really enjoyable. You should check it out, and I think hopefully Scott will watch it, and then maybe we can talk about that in the future, because, man, it's got some stuff I would love to talk about.
I fully plan to. Doom Patrol, the DC comic book characters and team, I'm a huge fan of going all the way back to the 60s and the Silver Age. As I understand it, a lot of what they're doing here is actually based on the Doom Patrol characters that were done more with, was it Alan Moore or Grant Morrison? Grant Morrison, I think.
Yeah, Grant Morrison. But there are Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah, I know. I don't want to say anything because I don't want to extend this. Certain very, 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 very minor details have been spoiled to me, but nothing that would ruin the show for me, just more like aside for comic book fans and stuff like that. My feeling is it's probably not in danger of cancellation because Swamp Thing, it sounds like, even though there are conflicting stories about it, it still sounds like Swamp Thing came down to money. Whether the story about North Carolina and the tax credit is true or not, because now they're saying that's not exactly what happened. All I know is that if they actually spent $80 million on a series that's on this very niche streaming service, the odds of that being renewed are already remote, unless it really truly broke through somehow. So it's not, when I look at it that way, it's not shocking. I've heard that something is amazing, and I do want to at least watch that first season. But I am disappointed to hear about that. But I want to get DC All Access because of Doom Patrol, because of Swamp Thing, because of the upcoming Star Girl, because of the Young Justice cartoon that they did a new season of, and that's one of the best animated series regarding superheroes that's been done, like, ever. So I am looking forward to that. Once I do get All Access, and I might do that next month, I'm thinking July might be the time to do it. Absolutely, do a special DC All Access podcast kind of thing. Talk about, can concentrate on Doom Patrol, or even if we've all seen Swamp Thing or whatever, we can talk about that and whatever hell else.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and maybe, hey, you know, Swamp Thing, there's also a move to try to get it on the CW because you can bring over the Constantine character and something like that. So that would be cool. Okay. We're just about to hit the hour mark. Perfect. The exact length podcast I always wanted to do. So, you guys out there, if you enjoy this podcast, guess what? You probably enjoy hanging out on the Facebook page as well. It's the Series TV Drama Podcast page. You can like the page and join the conversation about shows like Black Mirror or Deadwood or whatever the hell else you want to talk about there. You can also find us on the iTunes. Type in Series TV Drama Podcast. You can subscribe to our feed as well as rate and review us. You can type in Series TV Drama Podcast in Google and find us 18 other places for all you know. Finally, you can also follow us on Twitter. I really need to make more use of that Twitter account. Our handle there is at STVD Podcast. It's STVD as in Series TV Drama. So, Brian, thanks for holding the fort and coming together to do this Black Mirror podcast. Always fun talking with you.
I enjoyed it. Thank you, Scott.
And for everyone else out there, I hope you, again, hope you enjoyed the podcast and look forward to talking to y'all very soon. Peace out, everybody.
Bye.